Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Save big money on everything for your projects now at Menards. Plastic lattice panels are durable, low maintenance, and are easy to install. They're a great accent for deck skirting, garden trellises, and creating privacy walls. We stock a huge variety of colors and sizes to fit your project. Save big on lattice at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On January 5th, 2023, the world would finally get a glimpse inside one of the most methodical and technologically advanced murder investigations in recent history. The release of the probable cause affidavit in the Brian Koberger case would reveal stunning details about months of surveillance, cutting-edge forensic analysis, and a digital trail that led investigators directly to their suspect. The anticipation surrounding the affidavit's release had been building for days. Legal experts, media outlets, and the public had been waiting to understand how investigators had identified Koberger as their suspect and what evidence they had collected against him. The document would not disappoint. It contained revelations that were more detailed and compelling than anyone had expected. But beyond the shocking revelations about the evidence, January 2023 would mark the beginning of what promised to be a complex legal battle between some of the most experienced prosecutors and defense attorneys in the Pacific Northwest. The case would test the limits of forensic science, challenge traditional notions of criminal investigation, and provide a real-time example of how modern technology has transformed law enforcement. Previously on Brian Koberger, how we got here. Brian Koberger's pre-dawn arrest in Pennsylvania on December 30th, 2022, shocked the nation. The 28-year-old criminology PhD student was found wearing latex gloves and sorting trash, behavior that suggested consciousness of guilt. His academic background studying criminal behavior and his erratic conduct at Washington State University after the murders had raised red flags among colleagues and students. Now he faced four counts of first-degree murder and one count of burglary, charges that could carry the death penalty. I'm Tony Bruschi, and this is our look back on how we got here in the case against Brian Koberger. And this is Episode 6, Building the Case, Early 2023 Legal Proceedings. Today we're talking about the explosive revelations in the probable cause affidavit, Koberger's first appearances in Idaho courts, the family's emotional confrontations with their loved one's alleged killer, and how the legal machinery of a potential death penalty case began to grind into motion. The probable cause affidavit, released on January 5th, 2023, was a 19-page document that read like a thriller novel, except every detail was real and had been painstakingly documented by investigators over nearly 2 months. The affidavit provided the first official glimpse into the evidence that had led to Koberger's arrest, and the details were more compelling and disturbing than anyone had anticipated. The document had been carefully crafted by prosecutors and investigators to include sufficient detail to justify Koberger's arrest while protecting sensitive information about ongoing investigative techniques. Every statement in the affidavit had been verified and cross-checked to ensure accuracy, as defense attorneys would inevitably scrutinize every claim for potential weaknesses. The affidavit was structured chronologically, beginning with the discovery of the bodies on November 13th, and methodically building the case that led investigators to Koberger. This narrative structure was deliberate, designed to show judges and eventually jurors how investigators had followed a logical progression of evidence to identify their suspect. The document revealed that investigators had not just one or two pieces of evidence against Koberger, but a comprehensive web of DNA evidence, digital forensics, surveillance footage, and eyewitness testimony that painted a picture of methodical planning and execution. The convergence of so many different types of evidence was what made the case particularly compelling from a prosecution standpoint. The DNA evidence was perhaps the most damning. According to the affidavit, Idaho State Lab forensic scientists had extracted a single-source male DNA profile from the button snap of the tan leather knife sheath found on the bed next to Madison Mogan's body. This DNA profile had then been compared to genetic material collected from trash outside the Koberger family home in Pennsylvania on December 27th and 28th. The process of extracting DNA from the knife sheath had required sophisticated laboratory techniques. The button snap contained only microscopic amounts of genetic material, requiring scientists to use advanced amplification methods to create a complete DNA profile. The fact that they were able to extract a single source profile meant that the DNA appeared to come from only one person, rather than a mixture of genetic material from multiple individuals. The statistical analysis of this DNA comparison was staggering. According to the affidavit, the probability that the DNA on the knife sheath belonged to someone other than Brian Koberger was approximately 1 in 5.37 octillion. To put this number in perspective, there are estimated to be only about 1 octillion stars in the observable universe. The statistical certainty was so overwhelming that it essentially eliminated any reasonable possibility that the DNA belonged to someone else. The collection of the comparison DNA sample from the Koberger family trash had been conducted with meticulous attention to legal protocols. FBI agents had waited for the family to place their garbage at the curb for collection, at which point it became legally abandoned property that could be collected without a warrant. The agents had then identified items that appeared to have been used personally by Brian Koberger and extracted DNA from those materials. The laboratory analysis process had taken several days, with scientists extracting genetic material from multiple items to ensure they had sufficient sample for comparison. The DNA profiles were then analyzed using the same statistical methods used in paternity testing and other forensic applications, providing mathematical certainty about the genetic match. But the DNA evidence was just the beginning. The affidavit revealed that investigators had used advanced cell phone tower analysis to track Koberger's movements over several months leading up to the murders. His phone had connected to towers in the vicinity of 1122 King Road at least 12 times between June and November 2022, always during late night or early morning hours. This cell phone tower analysis, known as Historical Cell Site Location Information, or HCSLI, had required investigators to obtain detailed records from Koberger's cell phone provider and then analyze those records using sophisticated mapping software. The analysis could pinpoint his phone's location within a few hundred meters and provide precise timestamps for each connection. The pattern that emerged from this analysis was deeply disturbing. These visits weren't random or coincidental. The timing showed someone who was repeatedly surveilling the area during hours when most residents would be asleep and when his presence would be less likely to be noticed or remembered. The frequency of the visits suggested extensive planning and preparation. Each visit had lasted different amounts of time, suggesting that Koberger was conducting different types of surveillance during each trip. Some visits were brief, possibly drive-by observations to check on the house and its occupants. Others were longer, potentially involving detailed observation of the residents' routines and habits. The geographic pattern of the cell tower connections also revealed information about Koberger's surveillance methods. His phone had connected to towers that suggested he was approaching the area from different directions on different visits, potentially to avoid establishing a predictable pattern that might be noticed by residents or law enforcement. More significantly, the affidavit revealed what investigators called a data void during the crucial time period when the murders occurred. Koberger's phone, which had been actively connecting to cell towers throughout the evening of November 12th and early morning of November 13th, suddenly stopped all activity from 2:47 a.m. to 4:48 a.m. This wasn't a dead battery or a technical malfunction. The phone had been actively used both before and after this time period, with records showing normal connectivity and usage patterns. The deliberate cessation of all phone activity during the exact time window when the murders occurred suggested that the phone had been deliberately turned off or placed in airplane mode. For digital forensics experts, this type of behavior is a strong indicator of consciousness of guilt. People who turn off their phones during the commission of crimes often do so because they understand that cell phone data can be used to track their movements and establish their presence at crime scenes. Even more telling was what happened after the phone reconnected to the cellular network. At 4:48 a.m., just as investigators believed the killer was leaving the area, Koberger's phone came back online with a sudden burst of activity, but the surveillance hadn't ended there. At 9:12 a.m. on November 13th, his phone again connected to towers near the victim's house, apparently as he returned to observe the police response to the discovery of the bodies. This behavior of returning to the crime scene is something that criminal psychologists recognize as common among certain types of killers. Some murderers are compelled to return to their crime scenes to observe the investigation, relive their crimes, or ensure that they haven't left behind evidence that could incriminate them. This psychological compulsion often stems from a desire to feel in control of the situation or to experience the excitement of being close to the investigation without being detected. The timing of Koberger's return was particularly significant. By 9:12 a.m., law enforcement would have been arriving at the scene in response to the 911 call that had been placed at 11:58 a.m. This suggests that Koberger may have been in the area observing the early stages of the police response, watching as investigators began processing what he had done just hours earlier. The affidavit also revealed extensive surveillance footage that had captured Koberger's white Hyundai Elantra in the area around the time of the murders. This footage had been collected from multiple sources, including business security cameras, traffic cameras, and residential doorbell cameras throughout Moscow and the surrounding area. The process of collecting and analyzing this footage had been monumentally complex. Investigators had to identify every camera system within a several-mile radius of the crime scene, obtain the footage from each system, and then synchronize the timestamps to create a comprehensive timeline of vehicle movements throughout the area. According to the document, cameras had captured the Elantra approaching the area around 3:29 a.m., circling through the neighborhood and making multiple passes by 1122 King Road before parking somewhere out of view of the cameras. The vehicle was then captured leaving the area at high speed around 4:20 a.m., consistent with the timeline that investigators had established for the murders. The surveillance footage showed what appeared to be reconnaissance behavior, with the vehicle making slow passes by the house and then circling back through different routes. This type of behavior suggested someone who was conducting final surveillance before committing the attack, possibly verifying that the coast was clear and that there were no unexpected obstacles to the plan. The footage also captured the vehicle leaving the area at what witnesses described as high speed, with the driver appearing to be fleeing rather than simply driving away. This rapid departure was consistent with someone who had just committed a crime and was trying to distance themselves from the scene as quickly as possible. Perhaps most chillingly, the affidavit revealed details about the eyewitness account from surviving roommate Dylan Mortensen. Her description of the figure she had seen leaving the house, a male approximately 5 feet 10 inches, with bushy eyebrows, closely matched Koberger's physical appearance and provided crucial human testimony to complement the technical evidence. The affidavit described in detail how Mortensen had been awakened by sounds from upstairs that she initially attributed to Kaylee Gonsalves playing with her dog. This assumption made sense given the time of night and the fact that Murphy, Kaylee's golden retriever, was known to be active and playful. But the sounds had continued and escalated in ways that didn't fit the pattern of normal late-night activity. Mortensen had heard what she described as crying coming from Zana Kernodle's room on the second floor, followed by a male voice saying, "It's okay, I'm going to help you." In the context of a college house where friends regularly helped each other with various problems, this wouldn't necessarily have seemed alarming. However, Mortensen's account then described the moment that changed everything. She had opened her bedroom door and seen a figure clad in black clothing and a mask walking toward the sliding glass door on the second floor. The figure was walking in her direction past her door toward the exit that led to the deck and backyard. The description she provided to investigators was remarkably detailed considering the circumstances. She had been able to observe that the person was male, approximately 5 feet 10 inches or taller, and had bushy eyebrows that were visible despite the mask. The fact that she could see and remember the eyebrows suggested she had gotten a clear view of at least part of the person's face. Her decision to return to her room and lock the door rather than investigate further or call police immediately had been the subject of some public criticism. But trauma experts and law enforcement professionals understood that her reaction was completely normal for someone who had been awakened in the middle of the night and was trying to process confusing and potentially dangerous information. The affidavit also revealed that investigators had conducted extensive background research on Koberger, uncovering his academic interest in criminal behavior and his recent arrival in the Pacific Northwest. They had determined that he had no known connection to any of the victims, no apparent motive for the crimes, and no alibi for the time period when the murders occurred. This lack of connection between Koberger and the victims was particularly troubling because it suggested that the murders had been random rather than targeted. Random killings are often more difficult to solve because there's no obvious starting point for the investigation. But they're also more terrifying for communities because they suggest that anyone could have been a victim. On January 3, 2023, Koberger had waived his right to fight extradition and agreed to be transferred from Pennsylvania to Idaho to face the charges. This decision surprised some legal experts who had expected him to delay the process, but it allowed the case to move forward quickly. His first appearance in an Idaho courtroom came on January 5th, the same day the probable cause affidavit was released. The hearing, held at the Leyte County Courthouse in Moscow, was packed with media representatives, law enforcement officials, and family members of the victims. The courthouse, a modest building that typically handled routine civil and criminal matters, was transformed into the center of national attention. Security was unprecedented for the small courthouse. Multiple law enforcement agencies provided security, with officers screening everyone who entered the building and maintaining tight control over access to the courtroom. The media presence was overwhelming, with reporters and camera crews from national and international outlets competing for space in the limited seating available. Koberger appeared in court wearing an orange jumpsuit, shackled at the wrists and ankles. The restraints were standard protocol for someone facing such serious charges, but they created a stark visual reminder of the gravity of the situation. He was flanked by deputies and accompanied by his newly appointed defense attorneys. His demeanor during the hearing was closely watched by everyone present. He spoke only to confirm his name and indicate that he understood the charges against him. His voice was calm and clear, showing no visible emotion as the charges were read aloud. Legal observers noted that he appeared alert and engaged, following the proceedings carefully and occasionally conferring quietly with his attorneys. The families of the victims were present in the courtroom, some seeing their loved one's alleged killer for the first time. The moment was emotionally charged, with several family members staring intently at Koberger while others looked away, unable to face the person accused of taking their children from them. The seating arrangement in the courtroom had been carefully planned to ensure the family's safety and comfort while allowing them to observe the proceedings. Victim advocates sat with the families, providing emotional support and practical assistance as they navigated the complex legal process. Steve Gonsalves, Kaylee's father, later told media that seeing Koberger in person had been both necessary and painful. He said the family needed to look their daughter's alleged killer in the eye, but that the experience had been more difficult than they had anticipated. The reality of sitting in the same room as the person accused of murdering their daughter was almost overwhelming. Other family members described similar reactions. Some found closure in finally seeing the person who had been arrested for their loved one's death, while others found the experience re-traumatizing. Victim advocates emphasized that these reactions were all normal and that there was no right or wrong way to feel during such proceedings. The hearing also addressed the question of whether Koberger would be represented by a public defender or would hire private counsel. Given the seriousness of the charges and the potential for the death penalty, the court appointed experienced public defenders to represent him initially, though he retained the right to hire private attorneys later. On January 12th, Koberger appeared in court again for his arraignment, where he was formally charged with the 4 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of burglary. The arraignment is typically when defendants enter their pleas of guilty or not guilty, but Koberger's defense team requested additional time to review the evidence before entering a plea. This delay was not unusual in capital cases, where defense attorneys often need weeks or months to review the prosecution's evidence before advising their clients on how to plead. The complexity of the evidence in this case, including the DNA analysis and digital forensics, would require extensive review by defense experts. Judge Megan Marshall granted the defense request for additional time and scheduled another hearing for later in January. She also addressed media coverage of the case, implementing restrictions on what information could be released publicly to ensure that Koberger could receive a fair trial. The question of pretrial publicity was already becoming a significant concern for both sides. The case had attracted national and international media attention, with coverage that included detailed discussion of the evidence and speculation about Koberger's guilt or innocence. Defense attorneys would later argue that the extensive media coverage had made it impossible for their client to receive a fair trial in Leda County, where the small population and intense local interest in the case meant that virtually every potential juror would have been exposed to prejudicial information. Meanwhile, prosecutors were building their case with methodical precision. The Leda County Prosecutor's Office, led by Prosecutor Bill Thompson, was preparing for what would likely be the most high-profile case in the county's history. Thompson, an experienced prosecutor with decades of experience in criminal cases, faced the challenge of managing a death penalty case that would be scrutinized by legal experts, media outlets, and the public. The evidence appeared strong, but death penalty cases require meticulous preparation and presentation. The prosecution team was working with FBI forensic experts, DNA specialists, and digital forensics analysts to ensure that all evidence would be properly presented and would withstand the aggressive cross-examination that would come from experienced defense attorneys. They were also preparing for the possibility that the case might be moved to another county due to pretrial publicity concerns. This would create logistical challenges, but might be necessary to ensure a fair trial. Behind the scenes, investigators were continuing to gather evidence that might strengthen the prosecution's case. They were analyzing Koberger's digital devices, conducting additional interviews with people who had known him, and exploring every aspect of his background that might provide insights into his motivations or planning for the crimes. The search of his apartment in Pullman had yielded additional evidence, though the specific details weren't immediately made public. Investigators were also examining his academic work, looking for any writings or research that might provide insights into his psychological state or planning for the murders. His academic advisors and professors were interviewed about his behavior and performance. His fellow graduate students were questioned about any concerning statements he might have made. And his social media activity was analyzed for any clues about his intentions or motivations. The investigation had also expanded to include his activities before arriving in Washington State. Investigators wanted to understand whether he had committed any similar crimes in Pennsylvania or other locations, and whether the Idaho murders represented his first violent crimes or an escalation of previous criminal behavior. As January progressed, the legal machinery of a potential death penalty case began to move into action. The court appointed additional attorneys to assist with Koberger's defense, recognizing that capital cases require extensive resources and expertise. So the defense team would need to conduct their own investigation, hire expert witnesses to challenge the prosecution's evidence, and develop strategies for both the guilt phase and potential penalty phase of the trial. They would also need to investigate Koberger's mental health history, family background, and any factors that might serve as mitigating evidence if the case reached a penalty phase. This type of investigation, known as mitigation investigation, is crucial in death penalty cases where the defense must present evidence about why their client's life should be spared. The prosecution, meanwhile, was preparing for the possibility of seeking the death penalty, though that decision would not be made immediately. Under Idaho law, prosecutors must file a notice of intent to seek the death penalty within 60 days of arraignment if they intend to pursue capital punishment. This decision would involve careful consideration of multiple factors, including the strength of the evidence, the heinous nature of the crimes, the impact on the victims' families, and the likelihood of success in a death penalty prosecution. The families of the victims were also grappling with their own complex emotions about the legal process ahead. While they wanted justice for their loved ones, they also understood that a death penalty case could take years or even decades to resolve, prolonging their trauma and preventing closure. Some family members expressed support for seeking the death penalty, while others were more focused on ensuring that Koberger would never be free to harm anyone else. These decisions would ultimately rest with prosecutors, but the family's views would likely be considered in making that determination. As January came to an end, the case was beginning to settle into the slower rhythm of complex criminal litigation. The dramatic arrests and initial revelations were giving way to the methodical work of preparing for trial, analyzing evidence, and building legal strategies. But everyone involved knew that this was just the beginning of what would likely be a years-long legal process. The evidence against Koberger appeared substantial, but criminal trials can be unpredictable, especially in death penalty cases where the stakes are highest and the scrutiny is most intense. The families of Kaylee Gonsalves, Madison Mogan, Ethan Chapin, and Zana Kernodle were beginning a journey through the criminal justice system that would test their patience, resolve, and faith in the system's ability to deliver justice. And Brian Koberger, the criminology student who had once studied how criminals are caught and prosecuted, was about to experience firsthand the very system he had spent years studying from an academic perspective. Next time on Brian Koberger, how we got here. The prosecution's decision about seeking the death penalty, the challenges of pretrial publicity and venue change requests, and how Koberger's defense team began building their strategy to save their client's life.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast? You end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports. The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.